Influencing the product roadmap is one of the most ambitious things that most product marketers really want to do. But I think there is a subtle art in how you need to steer the entire process, I would say, in general.
You are listening to This is Product Marketing, brought to you by Product Marketing Hive, a product marketing community that gives back. In this episode, Anita Raj, Vice President of Product Marketing at Throughput, shares her thoughts on the role of product marketing in product roadmap, the why and how of influencing product roadmap. Let's dive into it right now. Today, we're happy to have Anita Raj again on our show. She has an extensive experience in go-to-market strategy, product launch, and other aspects of product marketing. Currently, she is the Vice President of Product Marketing at Throughput, and she is a significant contributor to the product marketing community with articles published on many platforms, including Product Marketing Hive. So feel free to check out the article series by Anita. Welcome to the show, Anita.
Hi, Louis. Thanks for having me today on the Product Marketing Hive podcast. I'm very excited to be here and look forward to an interesting conversation with you.
Thank you. So today we're going to dive straight into the topic of product roadmap. It is one of the essential product marketing activities. So what is a roadmap to you, especially in terms of the time frame?
Yeah, I think a roadmap is certainly one of the most important ingredients in outlining your strategy. It is one of those first starting points that gets different teams together, and it helps all of us to understand where are we heading, what are some of our ways in which we are planning to do this, how we can collaboratively share feedback and help entire company get aligned on how we are going to bring the entire strategy to life. So in my experience, generally, I feel that when done well in a cross-functional and collaborative approach, it definitely drives great alignment to prioritize and make decisions. When all stakeholders are involved in early stages of planning, I think everyone gets aligned, focused, and energized. Mm-hmm. Roadmap is also critical as it helps other teams plan and see what's upcoming, so that everyone in the company can strategically help product marketing and product management teams to make the launches truly impactful.
That's a great answer. So what do you see as the product marketing's role in the product roadmap?
I certainly think that product marketing plays a very critical role in the product roadmap. I think most product marketers are usually familiar with how the product management teams drive the roadmap, primarily within engineering teams, and then with the sales teams and the customer success teams. But I think it is critical for product marketing to have a seat at the table and be able to recommend both strategic and tactical aspects for bringing the voice of the customer and the voice of the market together for three main things. First, how can we effectively identify and prioritize across segments? By segments, primarily, I mean for prospects and for existing customers. What are we building? Why are we building? What is the prioritization matrix that we should have so that we are able to understand what's the impact assessment if those enhancements or those features or improvements are delivered to these two segments? Two, I think it's very critical for product marketers to build a launch framework based on the typical product release cycles that every company has that enables all the stakeholders involved in the process, besides, of course, the product management teams, but also the sales and the entire go-to-market motion, I would say, to understand and get full visibility into the communication and enablement plans. Last but not the least, I would say it's very, very important for product marketing to be able to understand how can we effectively measure and quantify the launch impact, conduct post-launch assessments, and also have some sort of feedback loops to continuously optimize.
Yeah, exactly. So when at what stage of product marketing, product roadmap planning, should you step in as a product marketer?
I think definitely inception stage is when it makes most sense, because I think when any item gets into the roadmap stage, ideally there are resources that are going to get committed. So before we kind of really build items in terms of features or new capabilities that need to be added, it's extremely important to be able to understand, is this really the item that we should be really looking at releasing, which quarter, if it's a quarterly release roadmap that companies are doing, or if you have like bi-weekly sprints that you're typically operating and doing your releases, because a lot of the times product teams are also operating in a very agile fashion. So I think inception, in my experience, typically makes a lot more sense, because the benefits are a lot more, I would say, in terms of, how well you're able to understand what the feature can truly do. It also helps you with the entire process of the branding, because end of the day, when you're launching something, you don't want to launch something in silos. You want to be able to package it really well. And that's where the entire branding, pricing, how do we introduce it to existing customers, or let's say power users, or maybe how do we market it to prospects? All the thoughts need to be planned before anything truly makes into the roadmap item, I would say.
I see. How can product marketer effectively influence the product roadmap? Do you have any helpful tips to share with our audience?
Yeah, I think influencing the product roadmap is one of the most ambitious things that most product marketers really want to do. But I think there is a subtle art involved to the process in terms of how you need to steer the entire process, I would say, in general. I think number one is you should really look at how you can integrate your internal and external channels so that you're able to truly understand what is the customer voice across all these different channels. I would try to break it down a little bit deeper. I think by internal, what I mean is how can you effectively unify all the customer conversations and data across multiple teams, right? So most of the times what happens is sales is kind of leading the conversations until someone becomes a customer. And then of course, once someone is a customer, there's a customer success team that's coming into the picture. And then they're doing their various interactions with customer support. Then they're also doing some various interactions with the product teams. They're also kind of really looking at maybe upselling something. So how do you kind of really capture all that experience? So I think it becomes extremely critical to be able to centralize and not have the usual approach of capturing all these requirements on spreadsheets and then trying to struggle to make sense out of, you know, what is the unique voice that you're trying to carve out of this entire engagement process. So I think that's pretty much what I mean by saying that, you know, how effectively can you align all the teams internally? And then from an external perspective, it really is about conducting an effective competitive analysis in terms of understanding which gaps should we be addressing and what is the potential of those gaps? Or is it really more like market leading capabilities that we are more interested in influencing versus filling the gaps? So I think it's a combination of those two things. So definitely effectively utilizing your consumer data across multiple teams is definitely one way to go. I think the second thing is how can product marketers basically build an effective case for your recommendations, right? So end of the day, product marketers don't want to be the roadmap execution ninjas, right? Like you don't want to just take the feedback from sales and then pass it to the product team and say that, you know, this is the go-to-market wise. But you also want to be able to make the switch from, let's say, tactical executors to strategic influencers. And this is where you need to really think about, similar to strategic activities, you need to have a case for your recommendations. So I think being able to distill the voice of the market and the voice of the customer into why and how we need to prioritize certain items on the roadmap becomes extremely critical. So I think having that approach of building the case for your recommendations and what's the likely impact it can have on a business and what's the effort and impact matrix that simply we can call it in terms of the impact, I think that's going to be extremely valuable. I would also say that typically launch is not something that just the product marketing team owns. I think you can say to a large extent, we own it, but then there are a lot of different stakeholders who need to come together to make the experience truly amazing for customers. In that sense, I think having some metrics that are centralized becomes extremely important to be able to drive the launch toward success and also be able to kind of steer a story that kind of helps everyone understand the impact of consistently delivering a phenomenal experience for customers. So I think rallying together and aligning everyone on what those common quantifiable metrics are and goals are versus siloed goals of, you know, this is the product marketing goal or this is the product management goal. I think that becomes extremely important. I think having also regular conversations with your customers always helps because they are working on your product day in, day out. So if the companies are able to kind of identify some set of power users, for example, users who are frequently engaged on your product, I think they can convey a lot more to you as well in terms of what some of their pain points are or what are they experiencing or where some of the enhancements could come from. And I think last but not the least, setting some impactful goals for all stages of the launch. So definitely, I think there's a lot of momentum and excitement at the launch stage, but then it tends to fizzle out post the launch. But it becomes extremely critical to understand how can you continuously continue the launch momentum through multiple stages of adoption of those features.
Yeah. And I remember your quote, go to team before go to market. It's definitely important.
Certainly, I agree with you on that.
I see. So talking about the communication of the product roadmap, I think communicating is certainly important, right? But I think what's more important is when and how do you communicate your product roadmap to your potential customers or existing customers, current customers. Then when do you think it's appropriate to communicate the product roadmap? And then how would you approach this? How would you do it?
Yeah, I think roadmap communication in general with customers is extremely important. And this is where certainly product marketing plays a very critical role, because having a communication framework for roadmap announcements or updates typically helps to drive more alignment, I would say, not just externally with customers, but also internally with different stakeholders who also need to be prepared, enabled, so that there is more trust in general. I think in one of the previous podcasts, as we had discussed, first about go to your team. First, your team needs to be enabled, prepared, and communicated well in terms of what's upcoming, how they're going to get enabled. And in the process, how different stakeholders talking to customers at different timestamps, how can they kind of guide them towards that journey? We all know this, that just a one-time communication or let's say multiple communications over emails alone don't do the job. You need to be able to speak to customers through different formats, different channels, and different mediums, so that when they hear the updates through different stakeholders, they're able to understand and digest. Because the reality is, customers are not just getting updates from us. They're getting hundreds of other updates over a quarter. And for them to be able to distill and understand, they need to have that centralized point of information source that they can kind of get themselves updated about. So I don't think there's a hard and fast rule here, as every company manages it differently in my experience over the years. Sometimes it's the customer success teams as they're regularly interacting with them. So then it is really about how do you enable your customer success teams, right? So is it during their monthly conversations or quarterly checkups or during their strategic engagement conversations where they kind of update them? Or is it really better to kind of have in a monthly or let's say based on your release cadence, what is a product newsletter that kind of summarizes what the updates are? Sometimes some customers are really hands-on, which is the power user group, for example, and they really like to go to the extent of understanding the change log updates as well. And it's not just about summarizing the top five exciting features which you might have. So it's really about understanding which segments of customers are you really targeting, and then which segment of prospects are you targeting, and how do you message the communication. I would also say it is important to understand that the mediums and channels are extremely important. So it's best that you don't go with what has worked over the years with different companies. For example, you could have worked in SaaS products that are addressing the e-commerce sectors. Maybe there's a certain mix of communication channels that really work well, right? From text messages to text marketing to in-app marketing and those kind of things. Whereas if you're working in industrial sectors, which is where I work right now for a company, I don't think the customers are that tech savvy in general, I would say, because we're trying to target supply chain managers. So our medium is slightly different in terms of how do we target them. So I think understanding which medium works well for your end users becomes extremely critical, and devising something that's custom, that's the right way to go, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of bringing the voice of customer into roadmap process, some people probably will put together a customer advisory board. What do you think about this approach, the benefits or limitation of it?
Yeah, I think a customer advisory board certainly has more advantages rather than disadvantages in my experience. I think even before the entire pandemic took center stage, I think communication with customers was always important. It helps you to basically have a higher trust, and over time it reduces frictions. So I think having this regular cadence of being able to understand what are the current pain points and what are the upcoming areas that you can solve for your customers is one of those best selling points of, you know, learning about how your product can actually help them and how they can solve bigger strategic goals through the product. I think the second aspect of it is really to be able to understand how the entire process of product has changed over time. People are not just looking for information on net in general to kind of evaluate what the product is like, but people are actually actively participating in different communities and forums to understand how their peers are able to solve similar problems that they are facing. So I think there are a lot of different groups and communities and user forums where people try to engage and try to understand and learn. So I think effectively acting like one of those forums for your customers in the first place kind of gives you those critical, probably potentially, I would say, your beta customers to a large extent, or even design customers that you can architect and design and understand in parallel as you build new capabilities, what their potential improvement opportunities could look like. So I think that's where the entire process of a customer advisory board makes a huge difference. It also at the same time helps them understand what is your strategic direction. So sometimes companies like to do like public roadmaps. Sometimes companies are not comfortable with it. It's having the roadmap in public has its own pros and cons. And it really completely depends on how comfortable a company is doing that. But definitely, I think times are changing. And the more transparent you are with your customers, it definitely drives huge momentum for them to be able to see your direction where you're heading and how they can be an active part in the process.
Yeah, thank you for the insight. And then to make the roadmap visible or not, what are the considerations here?
I would say in general, it's recommended to stay away from the dates. For sure, but kind of give a little bit of a visibility in terms of, you know, how the product is getting shaped in terms of what's existing or what's immediately upcoming and what's upcoming in the long term. I think having some sort of those strategic buckets in terms of, you know, what can customers expect when, because end of the day, a roadmap without any idea about what's coming when is useless for most customers, because then they are like, well, I don't know if this is coming this quarter or next, and how am I supposed to plan something because I'm driving an interesting transformation for different reasons, right? So I think having some sort of basic clusters is always good. And I think frequently kind of conducting some product strategic direction sessions where customers can actually get to hear besides just receiving one-way announcements in terms of newsletters or in-app guides or conversations with customer success managers. I think a formal session or an area where they can kind of really learn about, you know, how you're doing this besides your user group engagements or let's say annual user group events. I think that is what makes it really different in terms of being able to understand how they can have a say in your roadmap.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think one of the important benefits of communicating roadmap with customers, it's very easy to do the buy-in from the customers about your like overall strategy or your vision of the company, the product.
I totally agree with you. And I think just to add to that, we all understand end of the day that things can change. And then it really becomes more important to have that trust and buy-in in place, because that's when things really don't go the way you want, the amount of frustrations on all sides, whether it's the company or whether it's the customer, it's very minimal. When you are able to effectively and consistently manage expectations with customers in terms of what's upcoming and you're communicating with them, I think indirectly they feel a part of your roadmap.
I see. And then when you're communicating the roadmap to a customer in the sales cycle, what are the things that you need to watch out for?
I would say in the sales cycle, typically, it's best to reduce the emphasis on dates. I would try to keep the communication of the product strategy, what is the larger strategic objectives that we're trying to fulfill, and kind of stay away from anything that's got to do with dates in general. But if it happens to be one of those rare scenarios where the sales is kind of stuck on a deal, which is probably, let's say, a multi-million dollar deal, and they are really looking for a feature, etc., then I think on a one-on-one basis to kind of influence that is okay to kind of give them a better and a deeper insight in terms of, you know, what's going to come out when and what's the life cycle to some extent of that particular capability, if not feature, for example. I think that's one of the ways to go. The second I would say is look at increasing the communication throughout the process, right? It's not about the capability that comes when you're buying a product, but it's about the entire package that you can get in terms of what is the customer, for example, the monthly roadmap meetings that you can do with the product teams and the marketing teams, right? So how you can have your input when you're prioritizing different sessions, and how you can find interesting and useful materials in terms of easing out your entire onboarding process as well, right? So I think those are the two main things in terms of making sure that there is ample amount of communication and there is minimal ambiguity in terms of what's upcoming.
So in reality, in the agile world, how much visibility can you have over a roadmap that goes out maybe a year or even longer?
I think it's quite ambitious in reality to have a year-long roadmap, because there's so much that's changing. Of course, roadmaps are built with some of the best intentions in the mind, but there is like so much that's happening around us in terms of dependencies. And then of course, stakeholders who also kind of influence different things. So basically driving that consensus is challenging, I would say, for more than 2 quarters. So setting that high level roadmap of what we are doing and where we are likely to head is good, but putting some hard and fast restrictions in terms of these are the dates at which this is expected to come is something that's too ambitious in my experience. So staying away from that, but kind of helping everyone understand and align on why we are building something and how we are building this and how we can communicate this is the key. But then being practical about how we roll this out so that we can internally prepare and enable teams becomes a lot more critical, I would say.
So what are the common mistakes you think as a product marketer they could potentially make and then they should avoid when they're trying to influence the roadmap?
I think in general, some of the common mistakes is really not being balanced. For example, oftentimes this happens depending on some of the product marketing reporting structures. So if you're part of the go-to-market team, like I said, it's not ideally recommended to just gather all the inputs from the go-to-market team to be able to pass it to the product teams, I would say. But kind of striking a balance between the internal pain points and the external forces that can help us to position the product better overall in terms of our positioning strategy and the messaging strategy, I think that is one of the crucial things that you should try to make sure that you're making an interesting and a business worth conversation with the product management team. I think that is definitely one of the mistakes to avoid, to kind of just take inputs from one side or not being balanced in general, I would say. Number two, I would say, is underestimating the impact of internal enablement, and the focus is completely on external marketing in terms of, you know, how best can you do different elements based on your launch frameworks. The focus is externally much higher versus internally enabling your teams. So I think having a roadmap that talks about all the items that are going to happen externally along with your internal enablement is extremely critical. I think the go-to-market teams need to be enabled much in advance of what's coming. They need to be able to digest and understand how they can effectively pitch this during different stages, right? Like either whether it's about educating your potential educating your existing customers or informing your prospects about the new capabilities, I think that needs to be taken care of as well. I think those two are some of the most common ones in terms of how can you do that. Thirdly, I wouldn't say this is a mistake, but it's really more about how can you be more data-driven in general. I think there are numerous products and technologies today that are available that help you to really understand how effectively you can make your launch strategy more impactful. So being able to have those checkpoints in place to understand right from the announcements that you do in the media to your existing customers, being able to find those new features or capabilities inside the product, or being able to get the useful information to guide them to be able to find value in those features. I think those are some things that you have to spend a lot of time to think through about enabling and improving the experience of experiencing those new features. I think that would be the last thing that I would say that you should really exactly look at leveraging.
So we're coming to the end of our time here. Do you have any final thoughts on the topic?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how a lot of companies are delving deeper and deeper in terms of how product marketing plays a very strategic role, and they're slowly making the switches from being tactical to strategic. And I'm really looking forward to some of the interesting conversations that Product Marketing Hive is hosting about real problems and what could be the practical solutions to those problems. So thank you so much for putting together an interesting community that helps all of us to learn every day.
Thank you for the support and contribution to our community, Anita. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Lois, for having me today.
Thank you for tuning in to This is Product Marketing, brought to you by Product Marketing Hive, a product marketing community that gives back. Check out our website, productmarketinghive.com, to join our community, meet fellow product marketers, and access free resources, including training, playbooks, templates, and events. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and give a 5-star rating on the platform of your choice. See you next time.